Thank you, praise team. If you will, open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. Last week, we started a new series entitled Walking on the Roman Road. And we learned that the major theme of this book of Romans is the righteousness of God. And Paul had many good reasons for writing this long letter to the Roman people. His desire was to be with them, to personally encourage them, and to be encouraged in a small way by them, by this new church, a body of believers who were doing things the right way. But for now, this letter would have to suffice to them. When we got to the first stop on our Roman road, we saw that a scripture of every person who has ever accepted Christ must come to grips with. And the scripture was, there is none righteous, no, not even one. We saw that our first stop, that we are not righteous, and that we need to seek the one who is, and that's Jesus, and Jesus alone. He is the only one who can make us righteous. Today, we're going to be making our second stop on our Romans Road journey, and we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans 3, 23 says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let's read it one more time for emphasis, church. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, again, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins, asking you to forgive us where we fail you. Lord, we pray that you would settle us wherever we are right now. Help us that our focus might be on you and your word and the message that's going to be preached. Not me, not the messenger. I'm just a clay vessel, a broken clay vessel. This being used by you. But help us, Lord, to focus on you and your word. Let it impact our hearts. Let it impact our lives. Let it impact our ministries. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. I've got to get used to this. I mean, just for this morning, I'm still a little shaken by preaching to an empty congregation. I know that you're there. I know that you're there. But, I mean, you're not here with me. So, If I kind of go in a distance like I'm going right now, I mean, y'all just say a little prayer for your preacher. Now that we've read our scripture this morning, we've reached our second stop on the Roman road. The person that you're speaking to, now understand the whole purpose, the whole reason we're going through the Roman road is because you need to be comfortable witnessing to people. You need to be comfortable telling people about Jesus. And there's certain times when you are witnessing people, they're going to have questions, and all those questions can be answered on this Roman road. So as we get to our second stop, the person that you're speaking with should now understand that in our natural state, every single one of us in our natural state, we are not in any way righteous apart from accepting Christ in our lives. There's no righteousness in us. None whatsoever at all. But when we accept Christ, Christ in us makes us righteous. Amen? He and He alone makes us righteous in the eyes of God. There is no work that we can do, no task that we can perform to achieve such righteousness. We now come to our second realization that we must understand before a person can accept Christ as their Savior. It's another need, so to speak. We needed to understand that we're not righteous. There's some people who have accepted Christ that still think they're righteous, and they're not righteous. But we needed to understand that we're not righteous. Now we come to our second need to know Scripture. So let's read step two of Romans, the Roman roads, in context. We just read verse 23, but let's read it in scriptural context. We're going to start in verse 21. Verse 21 says, but now, apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets, That is God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot have any righteousness apart from our faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, since there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Church, we have a problem today because people in the world don't believe that they sin. And it's all because we have so twisted what sin is. And we'll get to that here in a few minutes. So again, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a propitiation through faith in His blood to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. He presented Him to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time so that He would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, I want to ask you, please, later on, after we finish this message, go back and read those passages again. Read this stop in our Roman roads in context and dwell on it. Stay with it. Understand it in all of its complexities this morning. Now, what we just read as we dissect this part of the Roman road, Paul is making his argument that God's righteousness comes through faith. Understand now, God's righteousness comes through faith. Now, church, how do we receive this faith? Or how is it that one obtains such faith? How do we acquire the faith to sit down in a chair, church, knowing that it's going to hold us? How do we put stuff in our mouths knowing that we're going to like it? How do we know if something is hot or cold or wet or dry or sweet or bitter or good or bad? How do we know these things? How do we have faith in these things? We have to test it. Has your faith compelled you to do things that you absolutely know that you could not do in your own power? Do you do something bold for the glory of God? Church, does this faith exist in your life as a Christian? Now, understand here again, listen, God's righteousness comes through faith. So we have to have faith. We have to put our faith in God. All of us have to put our faith in God to have this righteousness. Now, if this faith does exist, you have to now ask yourself, how did this faith get there? How in the world did you get this faith? Our scripture this morning and our scripture from last week tell us of how faith enters our lives to embolden us to speak the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you, if you have this faith, and if you've seen this faith as an example in your life, where God has emboldened you to do something that you know that you have, I mean, there's no way in your power alone you could have done it. But that faith is in there. How in the world did it get there? How did it get there? Now, we again see this week, as we did last week, that Paul begins his argument with the existence of the coming of Jesus. His existence in our life, we have to see that Jesus has always been. For faith to even begin to make sense to us, Jesus is the essential element that must exist. We don't have to initially have faith to prove Jesus existed because our scripture this morning tells us that the law and the prophets attest to the fact that Jesus has always existed as part of the Trinity. He always was. If you go back to Genesis, at the very beginning of Genesis, God says, let's create man in our own image. Who is God talking to there? He's talking to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus has always existed. The law and the prophets prove that Jesus has always existed. So our faith begins to build upon the first block of Jesus always existing. Now, last Sunday night, We saw in our study of the book of John, 1 John, John gave testimony to who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and who Jesus will forever be through the testimony of his baptism. Jesus didn't have a baptism like we had our baptism. Now, he was immersed the way a proper baptism should be, through immersion. That is the only way, only baptism that you see in Scripture is by immersion. But that's not, he wasn't baptized by through repentance. He was baptized through obedience. And that baptism proves that he is the Son of God. He also had a testimony of his blood. He testified to the world that he was the Son of God through his blood. People have left unbelievable footprints all over this world. There are monuments that are built to people, skyscrapers. Architects built the most unbelievable buildings you've ever seen in your life, and they're there to show that person's legacy. Jesus' legacy on this world was through his baptism and his blood. His blood proves to the world he exists. And lastly, through the testimony of the Holy Spirit we learned through 1 John last week. Just knowing Jesus came will not save us. But there must be compelling factors that draw us to see the need for accepting Jesus as how he came and who he came to be, who he was, who he is, and that's the true Son of God. What could compel a person to take such a step? As we look at this second step on the Roman road, to help them to understand, we're all sinners, every single one of us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What must a person do to take the step, the compelling step, to accept this? Now, last week, we saw the compelling factor that no man is righteous. Today, we see the compelling factor that is all mankind have sinned. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're listening from. I don't care what you think you've done that's good in the sight of man. I don't care how good you think you are. Please understand, Scripture says that you're a sinner, that you've sinned. And you might not like that. That might be bitter in your mouth, but understand, it's not me. It's not my opinion. I'm telling you what Scripture tells us this morning, and we need to understand it. We're sinners. And once we realize we're sinners, I'm going to step on myself here. Our Scripture this morning tells us that all have sinned, all mankind has sinned. And because of this sin, we fall short of the glory of God. This is a good time, again, to remind you that I usually, when I'm witnessing to somebody, I usually use John chapter 3 and then go straight to Romans 10:9. But what happens when a person you are witnessing to says, "Why do I need your Jesus?" It's going to happen, I promise. When you are ministering to somebody and you're trying to witness to somebody, at some point they're going to say, "Why do I need your Jesus?" And then they're going to say this, "I'm a good person. I'm a good person because I'm a whole lot better than old Susie over here. Susie, you ought to see what she does. She's a bad person. And I'm better than Bill or Thomas or whoever. I mean, you ought to see what they live like hell. I'm a much better person than them." We all sin. We all sin. This Scripture helps us understand. Now, our compelling Scripture today tells us that we need Jesus because we're sinners. And he is the only one who can save us from our sin. This is not my opinion again, church. This is what the Word of God says. People can look past our opinions very quickly, but it is much harder to look past this Scripture. It's strange to me today, the day that we live in, that people are so, they so want to hear your opinion. They want to hear what you think about politics, what you think about religion, what you think about culture. They want your opinion on everything. But they do not want to hear the truth of what God's Word says. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're compelling people to understand what Scripture says. Because it's easy to overlook our opinions. Well, that's just Kyle's opinion or Amy's opinion or Bill's opinion or it's Michael's opinion. But it's a whole lot harder to overlook what God's Word says. And God's Word says a lot. Now that we've come to understand that we're all sinners because God's Word tells us so, we now have a compelling factor. Because I know, because the Word of God says that I am a sinner, I am compelled to do something. I'm compelled, church, to understand that we're all sinners because God's Word tells us so. We're compelled to do something about our sin. We only have two directions. Once we understand that we're sinners and we're compelled to do something with our sin, we can only do one of two things. We can simply deny the validity of God's Word, thus releasing ourselves in our minds from falling under any penalty for not dealing with our sin issue. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people do that. Well, you know, I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I don't believe the Word of God. And when people say, I don't believe the Word of God, in their minds, I'm released from any bondage or any penalty that comes under this Scripture. And they're wrong. So number one, they can deny the Word of God. Or number two, we can deal with this sin issue in our life. Now, have you dealt with a sin issue in your life? Scripture clearly states that we're all sinners. Now, you've got to do one of two things, and right now in your mind you are. You are diminishing the validity of the Word of God, saying, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And there's many, I've got family members who have done that very thing. I don't believe the Word of God is the Word of God. And in their minds, they're free from all penalty. Or number two, you understand, I am a sinner. I've seen sin in my life. Now you have to deal with it. Now we have to deal with the actual issue of sin. Because in the world we live in today, everything is relative. Everything is relative, including this word, sin. Everything's relative. So if all have sinned, what is sin? What is sin? Because everybody has a different definition of sin. And listen, they'll say, oh, that's not a sin. Everybody's doing it. How can we qualify what sin truly is? Here's the definition. It's a transgression of divine law. Any act regarded as such a transgression, especially a willful or deliberate violation of some religious or moral principle. What the Bible says about sin is this. Sin is missing the mark. And this is what it says. It says, one's blindness does not excuse his guilt. You can close your eyes to it. You can close your eyes to sin and say, oh, that's not sin. That doesn't extinguish your guilt. Just because you say it's not sin, even though the Word of God says it's sin, you saying it's not sin is not going to extinguish your guilt. What that means is you're going to have to deal with it either now or in the future. You are going to have to deal with this issue of sin in Romans 3:23 sometime in your life or after your life. You're going to have to deal with it. This person who is still guilty, even though they did not know, that could be unintentionally, includes more than one might think at first glance. It means, sin means to turn aside, to wander, to err, to make a mistake, to miss the mark. Church, by definition, we can sin and not even know that we have sinned if we're not saved. This right here, this information should motivate anyone to seek a solution for their sin problem. Brother Kyle, do you know the absolute perimeters and the diameters and the thresholds of sin? I know what the Word of God says sin is. It doesn't matter what man says sin is or isn't. The Word of God says sin is sin. It's sin. Now we have to deal with it. We have to see it in our lives. Church, when we face sin issues, when we're dealing with verse 23, we sin. We fall short of the glory of God. We miss God's glory. What does this mean? I don't know the true depths. When we miss God's glory, I don't know the true depths. What is God's glory? We've seen glimpses of God's glory here on His earth through His creation. We see it every single day. We see it in a bird flying through the air. We see it with cold air hitting us in the face. We hear it from the first cry of a child. We hear it from a child calling our name. We hear it from grandchildren calling our name. We see God's glory in just little snips. But the fullness of God's glory, I can't explain it. But understand this. Please understand this. Listen to the scripture again. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You fall short of the glory of God. I don't know the true depths of that, church. But I do know that I don't want to miss God's glory. And therefore, I must do something. I am compelled. Once I realize that I am a sinner, and that sin is going to cause me to fall short of the glory of God, I am compelled. You should be compelled to do something about your sin. Now, if the congregation was full about this time, I'd say, let's do a survey. How many of y'all, you don't know the true fullness of what it means to experience the fullness of God's glory? How much of y'all would be content with just 10% of God's glory? How many of y'all want to experience the fullness of God's glory? The scripture this morning tells us that because of our sin, the sin that's in our lives, we're going to miss out on the glory of God, the complete glory of God, not even 1%. Listen again, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss the essence and the glory of God. What can we do about our sin? You see, now we're compelled. We understand that we can't sidetrack. We can't get around this. There's nothing we can do. We can either face it or deny it completely. So if we deny it completely, we're off the hook and we can live like we want to live and do what we want to do and just go about our way. And we're free in our own minds. But if we realize that we do have that sin in our lives, now we have to deal with it. What do we do? What do we do? We, in and of ourselves, church, can do absolutely nothing about our sin. Nothing. I cannot, once I realized that I was a sinner, there was nothing I could do. There was nothing I could do in myself. We can try every means possible to remove sin from our lives, but we can't. I can't jump in the shower and remove sin from my life. I can't take an injection and remove the sin that's in my life. I can't drink something and remove the sin, eat something and remove the sin in my life. Put myself in a closet and stay out of the sunlight to remove the sin in my life. There's nothing I can do to remove this sin. But once we are aware of the sin and the sin exists in our lives, that knowledge compels us. It compels us to seek the one who can remove the sin. When we realize that we're sinners who fall short of the glory of God, it puts us on the path of salvation. You see, man's righteousness cripples him. It cripples us. The proud arrogance, and I see it more and more every single day I grow older, man is so proud and so arrogant, and so they pat themselves on the back for all their accomplishments, and we can't do that. The Word of God says there's no righteous person, not even one. And then we deal with this scripture this morning. It says we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And with these two scriptures, it compels us to do something, to seek something, the one who is righteous and the one who can get rid of the sin. Church, do you realize this morning that you are a sinner? That as long as you live in this world, you're going to face the issue of your sins. 1 John tells us that all men are under sin. And if you say you're without sin in your life, you're a liar, and that makes you a sinner. We all sin. Have you met the one who can cleanse you of your sins? Church, Jesus is the only one who can wash your sins away. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus this morning? All you have to do to receive Jesus is to pray a prayer like this. If you don't know Jesus, pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I know that your word says that if I will confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God, I know you raised Jesus from the dead, Scripture says I will be saved. Lord, I do that right now. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe with all my heart that God, you raised Jesus from the dead. So right now, save my wretched soul. Save my life. And help me to live for you for the rest of my life. Did you pray that prayer this morning? Did you pray to receive Jesus as your personal Savior? These scriptures that we're talking about should compel you to answer questions that every person has. We're not righteous. We all sin. And this morning we've learned that sin is going to keep us from experiencing the glory of God. I pray that you'll contact the church, contact me. If you want to accept Christ, if you have questions concerning salvation, please call the church. Call my personal cell phone number and we can talk about it. I'm so glad that you came with us. Please continue on our journey as we head down the Roman road for the next few weeks to see what God's Word says we must do. Why is this important? Because ministry in the day that we live in is getting harder and harder. But our obligation to Christ should be getting stronger and stronger as we head towards the end days. We need to make God known. We need to be able to answer the questions that people who we're witnessing to, they're going to have. And these scriptures will help us. Let's pray and be dismissed. Our Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word doesn't favor. It doesn't flounder, God. We thank you, God, that your word is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. People may deny it, God, but because of your righteousness, we've got to believe it. So, Lord, this morning we pray that wherever we are, you'd help us to feel your presence. You'd help us to feel the presence of the love of this church that we have for each other and we have for you. And God, we might be willing this week to be that witness that you've called every single one of us to be. Lord, we love you. Let our actions show the love that we have for you this week and days to come. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now listen, I want to thank you for being with us again. Of course, you aren't here, but if you want to give to your church, to the church, your tithe and your offering, you can send it by mail. You can do it online on our website, on our Facebook page. You can see where you can go and send your tithes through that site. We're thankful that you're continuing to give to support the ministries of this church for the glory of God. Hope you have a wonderful day, and we will see you next Sunday back in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. God bless you all.